Truth of a Hopi. Stories relating to the origin, myths, and clan histories of the Hopi. By Edmund Nkwatwa, 1936. Medicine Hat and Fetish, George Catlin, 1907. V1.0. Ebook version copyright 2003 Earthbow. All rights reserved. www.earthbow.com. 2. Preface. This is one of the rarest types of ethnographic documents, one actually written by a Native American. Although this book contains interesting myths, the true value of this work is in the historical legends it contains. These legends are told through the eyes of the Hopi themselves, offering a fascinating glimpse into their cultural beliefs and values. Nkwatwa relates incidents and characterizations of Hopis that go far beyond the noble savage stereotypes of brave warriors and laconic wise men. The Hopi who occupy these pages are all too human, and that alone is a drop of truth that is missing from accounts of the Hopi, even to the present day. Using your Earthbow ebook, we suggest making a folder on your desktop or other suitable location, and naming it ebooks. Next, make a folder inside that folder and call it Native American, and make a folder inside that one and call it Truth of a Hopi. Edmund Nkwatwa, 1936. Cut the .pdf file from the download location and paste the copy into this Truth of a Hopi, Edmund Nkwatwa, 1936 folder. Setting up a file structure like this will save you a lot of searching. Note, you do not have the right to copy this book for your friends. The look and feel, navigation, and graphics are all copyrighted. If you would like to make extra money by selling this ebook from your website, please join our affiliate program. For more information on Earthbow ebooks affiliate program, please visit www.earthbow.com/ebook/affiliate.htm. Book navigation. Some of the links in this ebook, especially those in the resources section, lead to web resources. You will have to be connected to the internet in order for those links to work. A current list of other ebook titles by Earthbow is available at www.earthbow.com/ebook. Note, you will need to be connected to the internet for this link to work. We hope you enjoy this ebook. Please let us know what you think. Email us at earthbow@earthbow.com. Contents. Earthbow ebook cover. Preface. Resources. Affiliate program. Forward. How the people came out of the underworld. Masawu. How the Mockingbird gave the people many languages. The Hopi decide to seek a new home. How the Hopi selected Shungpovi for their home. How the Crow clan arrived and settled at Mishongnovi. How a family quarrel led to the founding of Orebi. How the Spaniards came to Shungpovi. Return of the Spaniards to Hopi country. The return of the Bahana, the white man. How the Hopi marked their boundary line. How some Hopis resisted sending their children to school. How Hotevila and Bakabi were founded. Yukshima. How the Crow clan became also the Kachina clan. The legend of Palit Kapi. Yapincha, the wind god. The Kanaya Kachinas of Sunset Crater. The ladder dance at Old Shungpovi. The ladder dance at Pivahongkiapai. Dr. Fuchs and Masawu. 4. Forward. The stories related in this little book represent the origin, myths, and history of a group of Hopi clans. They carry us from the very beginning of things down to modern times. One might say that they are the Old Testament of these people. They tell of their origin, their sacred beliefs, their wanderings, and their trials. The first story is one recounted only by the priests of the One-Horned Fraternity in the village of Shungpovi. Edmund Nkwatwa, a Shungpovi man who recorded this story, is of the Sun Forrad clan and is a member of the One-Horned fraternity. Clan stories are not supposed to be told by the members of unrelated clans, but members of the powerful One-Horned fraternity may tell all the clan stories belonging to the clans of their village. Each society has its own group of stories and sacred songs which it may give. But no other society is supposed to know these or to relate them. The clans concerned in this particular story are the following: the Bear Clan, Honavungwe, the Strap Clan, Biaquazvungwe, the Bluebird Clan, Josh Vungwe, the Spider Clan, Koking Vungwe, the Gopher Clan, Extinct, Mui Vungwe, and the Greasy Eye Cavities of the Skull Clan, Wickers Vungwe, now extinct. Other clan stories are included in this book. The Crow, Unguish Vungwe, or Kachina clan story is closely connected with the first story, The Truth of a Hopi, and their later history forms a part of our tale. These people came to the Hopi towns after the arrival of the Strap clan and the Parrot clan, Gash Vungwe, Zuni clan from Awatavai. The legend of Palatkapi is the story of the Cloud or Water clan group. These were the last to arrive. Several of these clans are mentioned in our main story. The Cloud, Omo Vungwe, or Water Clan, nicknamed Flood Clan, was originally the Corn Clan. Kayu Vungwe. After the disaster at Palatkapi, this clan split and three others were formed: the Snow Clan, Nuva Vungwe, the Wilted Corn Clan, Pikas Vungwe, and the Rabbit Bush Clan, Sivaf Vungwe, now extinct. With these clans came the Eagle Clan, Quavungwe, the Tobacco Clan, Bif Vungwe, the Rabbit Clan, Taf Vungwe, the Sand Clan, Tia Vungwe, the Bamboo or Reed Clan, Wuko Bakab Vungwe, the Sun Forad Clan, Kala Vungwe, originally the Eagle Clan, and the Sun Clan, Tawa Vungwe. 5. When this group arrived, the Crow Clan was already settled at Mishongnovi by the Corn Rock. The clans mentioned above, with which the three stories deal, represent all the clans in the village of Shungpovi, with the exception of the following group: Badger Clan, Honan Vungwe, Butterfly Clan, Pavel Vungwe, Tansy Mustard Clan, As Vungwe, and the Parrot Clan, Gash Vungwe, said to be a Zuni clan. These clans came from Awatavai, after the destruction of that village. As the North American Indian never developed a written language, all traditions are passed down by word of mouth. Boys were initiated into the sacred societies when they reached early maturity, and were then taught the traditions and history of their people. Since the intrusion of the white man and the development of his school system, there has been a consequent breaking down of the ancient customs. Although the young men are still initiated into the societies, it is usually at a much later period and often even after marriage. The old men complain of the careless inattention of the younger generation and are fearful that their history and traditions may fall into confusion and be forever lost to the coming generations. And so, today we find many of the more thoughtful men anxious to have these precious records permanently recorded in writing. In the following pages the author's style remains practically unchanged, only slight alterations having been made here and there by the editor for the sake of clarifying the meaning. Historic events have been checked by the editor and many explanatory footnotes added. The author and the editor are greatly indebted to Dr. Harold S. Colton, Miss Catherine Bartlett, Mr. Lyndon Hargrave, and various Hopi informants for their kind cooperation and assistance in compiling this little book. Mary Russell F. Colton, Editor. Flagstaff, Arizona. September 1, 1936. 6. How the People Came Out of the Underworld. Alexei, dash attention. Before anybody's memory, the Hopi lived in the underworld, which was the original place of all human life. Here, in the beginning. All life and everything was good in peace and happy. The people were governed by the chiefs, Mungwai, village criers, Chukmungwai, priests, Momwit, and high priests, and all their religious rites were ruled by the high priests. The people were classed as common, middle, and first class. The time came when the common and middle class of people grew wise to the doings of the priests and the high priests. All the days of their lives these poor people had been cheated of their family rights by the upper classes of the people. At times the wives of the lower class were visited by these men and by the priests and high priests, while the poor husbands of the women were away. Now all this kept on from bad to worse. By this time the wives of the priests and the higher class of men also grew wise to what had been going on for all these years, and they were greatly troubled. Then, gossip, quarreling and fighting started between the men and women. Some priests said that it was a joy to cheat and steal another man's wife and that they would pray hard and earnest for prosperity. The women in return said, "If this is so and true, would it be more joyful to you, men, if we did the same to you as you have done to us? Would you then pray harder still for prosperity?" This question was, of course, asked by decent women brought up before guilty men, and at this, every heart was troubled. The women turned their husbands away. They had no place to go but to their gathering places, called kivas, which were the underground houses, meeting places at times of ceremonies. In these kivas some hearts were sad and some did not seem to care so very much. They were all waiting and watching to see who would leave the kiva first to go to their houses to see if their wives would refuse to let them in. Some women had declared that they would not let their husbands in, so they put their belongings outside of their doors. The men left the kiva one by one, going to their homes to try their wives, but finding their things outside, they had to go to the homes of their relatives. Even there, they were not welcomed and were not invited to eat, so they were forced to take 2 or 3 ears of corn to the kiva to roast. That was all they had for their meal on that day. The night came on.